This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. The Senate did it first, and the final vote should come in the House of Representatives today, forcing the interest rate on federally subsidized student loans back down near where it was just a month ago. The new way of figuring these student loans is a compromise between lawmakers who wanted loan rates set by the market and those who worried about what happens when the market drives rates too high. So what we're getting are rates limited by a cap. What many parents want to know this morning is this: new federally subsidized borrowing for undergrads this fall will be 3.9%, just above what it was for the last academic year. Angus King, the independent senator from Maine, supported this compromise. Morning, Senator King.
Good morning, David. How are you?
Good. So congratulations. You and your colleagues have fixed the problem of the high cost of higher education.
Well, yeah, would that we had, but we've fixed at least a little bit of a piece of it in terms of the student loan program, which was fixed at 6.8%, which is way above where the market is now. So students are overpaying next year to the tune of about $10 billion if we hadn't been able to do something. And I think we came up with a good piece of policy, but perhaps as importantly, a good process where this was the result of bipartisan negotiations instead of the usual gridlock around here.
And in a way, when the government subsidizes student loans, in a way it's subsidizing the colleges and the universities, right?
Well, I made that point particularly with Pell Grants. You know, we can find a little extra money and give everybody an extra $1,000 on their Pell Grants, and the college raises their cost by $1,000. You know, the students don't win, the government doesn't win, the taxpayers don't win. I guess the colleges do. It's a sort of economics question. Are we throwing more dollars at a finite amount of goods? And Economics 101 tells you when that happens, the price is going to go up.
Now, you can blame our friends in higher ed for a lot of this, but maybe it's us. Maybe it's our kids. When they shop for colleges, they want fancy gyms, spiffy student center, technology galore, and that makes colleges more expensive.
You're absolutely right. I have a friend who's the president of a college, and he calls it the arms race. And, you know, the students are saying, well, now, how good is your food? I don't know about you, David, but it never occurred to me to check out the food at the college where I was going to go. And they all knew have to have gyms and workout rooms and climbing walls and turf fields and all that kind of thing. And colleges have now become essentially the richest environment any of us will ever live in our lives in terms of, you know, the amenities that are around us.
But you're not sure if public policy has a role in thinking about what to do next?
I do think there are some things that we might be able to do. For example, by saying if you're going to take all of this federal money, whether it's loans or Pell Grants from these students, we think there should be some accountability in terms of how many of your students graduate, how many of your students find jobs. I'm not sure what the federal role is except to shine a light on this question, because otherwise all we're doing is throwing money and it doesn't benefit the students. In fact, it disbenefits the students if they have to take out these huge loans and the price goes up in proportion to the availability of the loans or the grants.
Now, here's a truly awful advertising line that would go nowhere on Madison Avenue. We make driving boring again, or we make smartphones boring again. Is it possible that what Wall Street needs is this slogan, "We make banking boring again"? I also talked to Senator Angus King of Maine, who's been working with some prominent Democrats and Republicans, on bringing some boredom to banking 5 years after the great financial collapse. Senator, you're worried this could happen again?
Yeah, I am. And I think there are a couple of threads left unattended to in the actions that took place. The major reaction to the financial was Dodd-Frank.
That was, of course, the financial reform law passed in 2009 that got at some of this.
Right. But it's essentially a regulatory solution. It's, you know, let's pass regulations. And by the way, a lot of the regulations, David, I got to tell you, are having a negative impact without any corresponding public benefit, particularly at smaller banks. So I've co-sponsored, along with an unlikely group, Elizabeth Warren, John McCain, Angus King, and Maria Cantwell from Washington, the 21st Century Glass-Steagall Act, which fundamentally separates investment banking and hedge funds and that kind of activity from regular commercial banking. This was the law in the country for 70 years, from 1933, and then it started to get whittled down by the Fed, and then finally was repealed in 1999. And I just think it was a fundamental mistake.
But of course, it would have the effect of breaking up some of these big banks, do the investment banking part, trading on your own account part.
Yeah.
But if you want to be a bank that takes depositors' money, you think that should be a different company.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm not arguing it was the sole problem in 2008, but I think looking forward, it's just inevitable that you have this sort of built-in conflict where your deposits are insured and then you've got the whole too big to fail thing. Somebody said our goal is to make banking boring again.
Yeah, some people call it narrow banking, but bringing back Depression-era distinction seems a little retro.
Well, hey, Mark Twain once said, history doesn't always repeat itself, but it usually rhymes. You know, the real problem, David, is that so many innocent people are hurt by this. I mean, there are thousands of people in Maine who still are out of work because of decisions made on Wall Street and Washington and, you know, the big cities. And that's just not fair. And it seems to me I don't see any downside to this, frankly. And
I mean, it's going to be a challenge. Powerful financial services companies are not going to take this lying down. They're going to say we're making profits again. It's okay. They paid back the bailout money. Why are you picking on us?
No, I think they're going to come into town and say, Angus, you've got a great idea. You and Elizabeth and John McCain, we're for you. You know, I don't think
where can I sign?
If that happens, I have a bridge to sell you. No, it will be, of course. And, you know, when we first proposed it, I thought, well, OK, this is a good idea. But we've gotten a lot of support. I think the public understands this and thinks it's a good idea. I think it's got a lot more political oomph to it than I would have said even 2 weeks ago.
Angus King, independent from Maine. Senator King, thank you very much.
Great to be with you, David, as always.